This fourth Sunday of Advent reminds us of the royal office of Christ in the house of David. David was a king, and Christ would come as the King of Kings. And he'd be born at Bethlehem as a prince, a royal prince. It was set up for thousands of years and fulfilled by the Lord. We call that cause and effect. A causal effect flowed on. The other day, in the hectic mall in Big W, I saw a cause and effect. There was a mother, and in front of her, perhaps a daughter or a friend, and behind was another teenage girl. And they were walking through, and the one in front, casually dressed, normal people, was eating an icicle, a nice icicle, red. And she took a bite, and half the icicle went plop onto the ground. And as they were walking, she didn't lose step. She just fell on the floor. She kept on going. Mum was looking around, oblivious, stepped right over the icicle, now on the floor. And the girl following saw it and stomped on it with her thong. She'll have a sticky thong. And I thought, interesting. Well, it became more interesting because a toddler with her mum, and the toddler had escaped from mum, was coming down the aisle, saw the red puddle and had fun. Of course, mum was cranky because her daughter was all sticky and it was a big mess. And of course, she then accused the shop assistant of not doing things and not keeping a clean shop. And I kind of think, oh, what a mess. Cause and effect. Who do we blame? Should we have taken a risk assessment out on icicles before they are sold? Is the manufacturer at fault because at a certain temperature, red icicles collapse on the second bite? I don't know whether it's the manufacturer. Was it the mother's fault? Should she have been more vigilant and made sure that the child in front of her, if she dropped an icicle, she had to pick it up? Or was it the girl who was following the mother? Was she at fault that she stomped on that icicle? Would have been fun, I suppose, at the time, messy later. Whose fault was it? Cause and effect. The effect was a bit ugly for everyone involved. Flared tempers, a few ugly words, especially from the mother with the toddler. And life's like that, isn't it? Now, let's say, for example, that girl whose icicle collapsed as she's walking along. And the one behind stopped and said, oh, what a mess. I'll clean this up. Wouldn't it have solved the problem? The shop assistant wouldn't have been abused. The mother with the toddler wouldn't have been upset. The toddler would have been at least somewhat decent for the day. Often things happen or don't happen because we don't do enough. Well, one person who did more than enough was the Mother of God. She's the new Eve. Eve disobeyed, Mary obeyed. Eve and Adam made a mess. Mary cleaned it up. And that's the gospel that prepares us for the birth of the Prince of Peace. And I've given you the RSV text because the Jerusalem Bible text, I think, fails to meet the grade. I say that because the translation from the Greek is more accurate than this text. And the Bible was written in Greek. Sometimes wayward Catholics who are misinformed and Protestants don't like saying the Hail Mary prayer, which is called the angelic salutation, because they think they're worshipping Mary. We never worship Mary, we worship God, the Almighty Creator. We honour His Mother. And the Creed teaches us that, the Apostles' Creed, which all Christians hold. Furthermore, all Christians believe in the Bible and the text you've heard from Luke, which is the beginning of the Hail Mary. And the next section of the Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, comes from the greeting of Elizabeth to Mary. Because once she conceived within her womb, Jesus, she went with haste to Elizabeth. Charity has no limits. And so the Hail Mary prayer is a very biblical prayer, so never be embarrassed to say it. And never think when people say, oh, it's the church is... No. Sorry, the Bible teaches us this prayer. It's ancient. It goes right back. And this text, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you, is fundamental to our belief in what we call the virgin birth. Now, the virgin birth is not the birth of Mary, who is the ever-virgin. Foretold in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, that the virgin shall give birth, and the child shall be Emmanuel, God is with us. she was conceived without sin. So that God's grace was always with her. That is the greeting of the angel. The Lord is with you. Normally the greeting is, may the Lord be with you. And I said, the Lord be with you. I don't say is with you, I say be. It's a subjunctive verb, meaning may he be with you if he's not. I don't know whether he is in your soul. It's a hope that he may be. With Mary, she and God never separated. And that's why, Hail Mary, full of grace, that phrase, full of grace, is so important, essential. And it namely means she never lost any grace. And in the Greek, the word is kekeratomene. It's one word which means she had maximum capacity and it was filled with God's presence within. So when you look at the eyes or the face of Mary, you'd be gazing into heaven. Perfect beauty, perfect goodness, perfect truth, because she reflected the divine presence that lay within and would later give birth to that divine presence by giving us our Saviour. So it was a unique moment in history, cause and effect. Although she was filled with grace, heaven asked Mary whether she would consent to be the mother of God. And her answer is, I'm consecrated to the Lord. I know I'm betrothed to Joseph. We are engaged. He's going to live in a rather unique relationship with me. We're not going to have spousal relations. We will love each other as a soulmate. We will love each other as a companion. We'll love each other to be there for each other as our best friends, but we're not going to have intercourse. And that's why she says, I won't have a husband in that sense. How can I have a child? And of course, she would have perhaps been thinking about that text from Isaiah, but being filled with humility wasn't presuming she was the one until the angel said, God's power will bring you as a virgin to become a mother. And you can't be a virgin and a mother. Water is always wet. It can't be dry. You can't be a virgin and a mother except by God's grace. And God's grace entered our space. Heaven came down to earth. Eternity took on time. And it all hung upon thy will be done. Yes, I consent. She didn't have to say that. She could have, like Zechariah in the temple, oh, I'm not too sure on this John the Baptist thing. He hesitated, he doubted, he was unsure. Our Lady, God respected her free will. She did consent, she was filled with grace, but God wouldn't force his way into our world. In the same manner, he won't force his way into your homes or your hearts. He lets you open the door. He respects our free will. And the most perfect person, the most perfect creature he ever made was Mary. And he respected even her will. He sent the angel to ask her, will you be the mother of God? And she said, fiat, thy will be done. And it all began to pass. Salvation history hung on that moment. We call it the incarnation or the announcement of the angel regarding our salvation. And think about it, that was a moment in history. Perhaps, I don't know how many minutes, all of creation was groaning, as St. Paul would say, for that moment to come to pass. So we think about her openness to God's will, and we pray that we too might be open to God's will as we prepare. We make the final moments of this week in our getting ready for the birthday of our Saviour. And no doubt we'll all be busy doing things, and as we're going about our work, perhaps cleaning, cooking, gathering, buying, selling, whatever we're doing this week, think about the journey they were making in that week, because it took them days to travel those hundreds of kilometres from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. It was winter, the roads were dirty, wet, no bitumen. Perhaps she was a donkey, more than likely because she was heavily pregnant. It would have been an ugly trip by all accounts. Windy, perhaps. Things didn't go well. It wasn't a pretty moment in their life. Yet, she never stopped smiling. She was always cheerful, filled with God's grace. She knew the big picture. Let us therefore keep the big picture also in mind this week, when things don't go the way they ought, so that Christ may be born into our hearts on Christmas Day. We pray for that, because with his presence comes peace. Joy is the presence of God in the song, and the consequence is the giver, the Prince of Peace. Let us pray, therefore, that we make the most of this week, asking her to inspire us and guide us and prepare us for that moment when Christ will be born. Praise to Jesus Christ.